Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Spend a few minutes with Helen Hole Hitchcock talking about the role of women in the Catholic Church. It was a couple months ago, and dating back several years here in the St. Louis area, there was some trouble. I would call it trouble, where there were some rogue ordinations. An individual calling himself a bishop, ordaining women to be clergy. Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg on a movement, not a big one, but it's one that's very vocal, a movement in the Roman Catholic Church to entirely rethink the way that this church has given roles to women. We'll talk about it here for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Before we welcome Helen Hole Hitchcock, let's hear the story from CBS News.
In an institution dominated by men and headed by one whose job description includes the term infallible, this gathering is as close as it gets to a democratic exercise. The 22nd Synod of the Catholic Church includes 253 bishops and a mere 25 women, one of them an American nun who's not here just to take notes.
We have a different perspective, just given our status in life, and therefore we'll be able to bring to the bishops some kind of reality check.
Sister Sarah thinks the increase in both the numbers and the level of participation of women is due to a combination of a two-year campaign of postcards sent by an American Catholic group called Future Church, asking for a greater role for women in the synod, and what she calls a natural progression under Pope Benedict XVI.
I think the Holy Father is seriously interested in opening up opportunities for women to contribute in whatever way they can.
The theme of the Synod, the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church, was set by the Pope, but each participant is given a few minutes to deliver a brief message aimed at both him and the wider world, a kind of sounding board that one Vatican expert called taking the temperature of the Church. And nuns working at grassroots level may be better placed to read the thermometer than berobed bishops.
I mean, they're living in their own world, they have their own responsibilities, and they don't always notice what's going on the ground.
That doesn't mean the bishops' jobs are open to female competition, of course, but for an august body that measures time in millennia, it is a noteworthy change in tone. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Vatican City.
All right, there's a story from CBS News. Helen Hole Hitchcock joins us to talk about the role of women in the Catholic Church. She's director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
What can you tell us about this organization that was mentioned in the piece, Future Church?
Well, one thing I would like to do is to exonerate Sister Sarah Butler from what the clip that we just saw made it sound like she was advocating women in the priesthood and, you know, radical feminist agenda, and that is absolutely not the case. We know her very well. She has spoken for our group locally, and we've published an article of hers exactly talking about these very issues, ordination to the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church, and people who look at our website can probably find that. It was published in 2004. But the thing that I think that is interesting in the way this clip was presented is that, here's some progress. They're actually going to hear some, they're going to let women into this. This is nothing new. There were women auditors at the Second Vatican Council. There have been women auditors at some level at virtually every public meeting because there are a lot of women religious and women who are involved in the church's work, and they have not, obviously not bishops, but they're, you know, what Sister Sarah said was that there is, she thinks, a natural progression in, on the part of the Pope in hearing from more women who have a different perspective, as she said, and that from the bishops, as does any layperson. So I think that her intention was to say that that the church is indeed wants to hear from all members of its of the church, including laity, including women, and that I think she would be appalled to see the way this was sort of twisted to make it sound like she's a member of some radical organization who's campaigning for women priesthood or something.
Is that what Future Church is, campaigning for women priests?
Right, yeah. It's a one-woman organization, really, in the Diocese of Cleveland. Sister Christine Schenck is the is who Future Church is. And she and whatever few followers she has actually some of them were in attendance at the public sessions of the Synod. Maybe they have press credentials or something. I saw a couple of comments from Sister Christine, but nothing that that would be newsworthy. But Sister Sarah, though, has said just before this the Synod of Bishops on the Word of God and the mission of the Church that's going on in Rome right now. She gave a talk just about a week before that on to a symposium on the religious life. And she very publicly, I mean, very openly acknowledged that there are divisions in the religious orders, a different perspective on what the church is and is supposed to be. And she was very, very strong in her affirmation of the essence of the church, the authority in the church, and criticism of radical feminism who feel that they have a call to reform church structures by ordaining women and other things. So she very, I mean, this is accessible online too, the speech that she gave to that group, and she very strongly supported the church. She said that other groups are on a collision course with the teaching authority of the church if they regard the ministerial office instituted by Christ as itself unjust, or alternatives, moral and doctrinal alternatives to Catholics who dissent on matters of faith and moral teaching. She, you know, roundly criticized that. So I do hope that that little clip doesn't doesn't cause her pain when she watches it.
I'm wondering if you do watch the media on whenever they cover this issue, they often make it sound as though there are many, many women, especially in the religious orders, nuns, who are really either openly or secretly advocating for female priests. Is this your impression?
Yeah, well, I think that there is some truth in that, and as I was just reviewing what Sister Sarah had given at this symposium that I just mentioned, she publicly acknowledges that there's a division within the religious orders in particular, the female religious orders in particular, but how we respond to that. She says, we cannot have Christ without the church. We can't claim to belong entirely to Christ and at the same time repudiate the covenant community which he established, which he loves, and for which he sacrificed his life. So she says that it's totally wrong-headed to a secular conception of equal rights that just does not square with Christianity's idea of linking the desire of self-sacrifice with the love that Christ inspires in Christians. So I think that that message is not as appealing to the media, and perhaps that's one reason why it's excluded from little clips like we just heard.
With only a minute here, who are the biggest advocates of the ordination of women inside the Catholic Church? With only a minute, Helen.
Well, actually, they've almost diminished. In the 20 years that we've been involved in what we're doing, they've just about disappeared. Those who were especially promoting it, some feminist theologians, some who teach in universities, there are a few. I would say I could probably name five who are leaders in this, and that they have had their effect on causing disruption and confusion within the church. But as far as a strong movement, I just don't think there is any.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. If you go to issuesetc.org, that's our website, click on demand, you'll find there a link posted to Women for Faith and Family. Helen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
When we come back from this break, bottom of the hour, Pastor Paul McCain's going to join us for the next half hour, round off this first hour of the program. We've talked with him about the Lutheran Confessions every week for the last 3 weeks. Today is no exception. Part four of our series with him on the Lutheran Confessions, we come to the issue of the Pope's authority, his power, and what the Reformers called his primacy. Now, it's an oversimplification to think of the Lutheran Reformation as merely kind of a big rebellion against the authority of the Pope. But you really can't understand the Lutheran Reformation thoroughly and deeply without understanding why it is they would dedicate an entire section, an entire document in the Lutheran Confessions to the issue of the papacy. So we'll be talking about that on the other side of the break. After our conversation with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House, Corey Casimir is going to be our guest. We'll talk about yesterday's rededication of a Nation of Islam mosque in Chicago. Louis Farrakhan was there speaking. He was there talking about peace between all the religions, boiling them all down to a moral code, saying, why can't we just get along? Jesus and Muhammad would get along. And then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll talk about the existence of God, the beginning of a five-part daily series with him, answering the objections of unbelievers.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Cindy Roderick, Steve Thady, Stephanie Snyder, Harvey Linhart, Chris Post, Timothy Fitzner, Linda Richardson, Mrs. Jean Bowie, D. Wire, and David Alexander. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Life Chain is an annual fall event. Pro-lifers line the street with signs saying, abortion kills children and abortion hurts women. This year, a Wisconsin girl who was pregnant and considering an abortion chose life after realizing she'd been a part of Life Chain all her life. Another pregnant woman with four girls went to church that Sunday to ask God for a sign what to do. As she left church, she saw Life Chain. She cried and said this was her answer. She chose not to have an abortion. Two babies were saved because of a simple act of Christian witness on the street corner. Imagine how God could use you to protect his lambs if you did little things to speak out against abortion. When done with gentleness and love, you can move mountains.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.